Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the English service. And thank you, Pastor Brian, for inviting me to come over to preach again in February. Today is a very special day. It's the third day of the Chinese Lunar New Year, as well as the Valentine's Day. I hope everyone will have a good time. Today's scripture is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And I'm sure you all noted very well, because this is one of the well-known passages in the New Testament. And today I'm going to give them a sermon title, Transformations, Renewal of the Mind. A few years ago, I was involved in a VBS in Sudbury. Me and a few families went up to the north for 4 hours drive, along with the Ontario Children Fellowships. To go up there to do a week-long of VBS. And one of the songs that I learned from them, it's called Totally Transform, as you can see on the screen. Well, I'm not going to sing it, but I'm just going to say it a few of the verses to you. It says over here, change. Do you see the change in the heart of me? Renew me from the inside out. Renew me till there is no doubt. And the chorus goes like this. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to play the same old games. I'd rather be transformed by you, my Lord. And the coda ends up like this. I'd rather be transformed by you, my Lord. This song is, it's like, yes, it's a children's song. And then we took it again to Aruba with the short-term mission team in 2019. We were planning to go again to Aruba last year. Unfortunately, due to COVID, we couldn't go. But this is one of the VBS camp poster, as you can see on the slide. That's two butterflies. It's about to transform from the original state to grow up to have the wings from a millipede. Transformation in according to Paul. It goes like this. It says over here in verse 1. I use the New Revised Standard Version. Appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is spiritual worship. Paul spent the first 11 chapters in the book of Romans to talk about a lot of theologies. He talked about sin. He talked about justification by faith, and then goes on how to set the captives free, etc., etc. And then moving from chapter 12 and onwards to the end of 15, in these four chapters, he sort of applied what he was talking before in the first 11 chapters to put the theology into actions. You may say, so what to me? I learned so much about justifications. I learned so much about a faith. So what does it mean to me? So Paul goes on and talked about here in verse 1, one of the best known passage in New Testament, and I'm sure that many of you can even memorize or recite. So my question is, what is a living sacrifice? Like in the Old Testament, we used to offer dead animals or the firstborn of the animal to the altar to bring it to the priest, and he would burn it, like kill it and burn it. And that's what they do in the Israelites back in the Old Testament. But now, Paul says we don't offer literal sacrifice anymore, because Jesus has already fulfilled the sacrifications on the cross. He died for our sins. So here it says holy. Holy means apart from profane matters, which is profane means not biblical, separate from sin. It is also a spiritual act of worship. And from what I mean by spiritual act of worship, I have a list of 2 points. Worship is the way we live. Now, many people would think about worship as just coming to church on Sunday. Worship could be singing, right? But that's the misconception about worship. Worship is completely embedded in our daily lives. For instance, when we eat, we give thanks to the Lord. That's a way to show our appreciations to the Lord for his providence. And when we exercise, we run on a treadmill or we do liftings, that's the way to be a steward to our body, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside our body. And when we drive, like outside, we don't do misbehave or try to do aggressive behavior because somebody just cut right in front of me, or we try to slam the brake just to give them a revenge. No, that's because we have self-control, and self-control is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when we work in the workplace, we demonstrate our being a Christian by doing it ethically, to do the best of us or show our best ability to our employers. So those are the things that are also considered acts of worship if we were to act it out. It's not simply coming to church as one person, and then when we go out and then we become another person. So we got to be extremely careful, because worship not only involves to the action we just mentioned. So we bow down and pray before the meal. Sometimes we even hesitate to do it. But here it is involved. Worship involves our minds. Why? Because our minds dictate our actions. Sometimes we have this type of thinking and then we'll act it out. A lot of the parents worry about the children playing violent video games, because all these images, all these violent action, using all these, you know, you guys know it more than I do, all these weapons and upgraded things to destroy the dog, the boss, for instance. That type of images would eventually be put into real life. And there's so many incidents in the U.S. where students actually bring their weapon to school and do the rampage. And that just, to some of us, is very scary. So in this case, involving our mind is not emotional reaction. We have to make sure that we have to use our mind to worship our Lord. Here in Romans chapter 2:2, so we talked about the worship. Now I want to go on verse 2 to talk about something more transformation or renewing your mind, which is today's title. Here you can see two side-by-side Bible translations. New Revised Standard Version on the left side and NIV on the right. I'll read out both to you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I like the word discern more than test and approve, which is you see in NIV. The reason is sometimes we're not able, or we have the wisdom or the knowledge to so-called test and approve God's will. Am I correct? So God's will is above us. God's wisdom is above us. So how can we test and approve? But I would more lean on the word discern. And discern here, it's a process. To this slide, you see transformation, renewing your mind. It's a process of reprogram our mind. You know when you do computer programming, when you do something, you need to constantly update, right? Update your phone, update your computers and things like that. A process of reprogram our mind, because when we were not Christian before, we used to have a set of values, which is not biblical, or according to the world, or according to the secular things. But once we are becoming Christians, we need to take out the old ruts and feed with the values of the kingdom. That's something we need to involve the Holy Spirit to do it for us. Because on our own, we are not able to do so. Only the Holy Spirit who dwells within us will be able to do the work. And then you ask me, how? How do we do that? How do we invite it? That's why you need to constantly read the Bible and become close to God. There's no step one, two, three where we can just click it like this. It's a process. It takes time. It takes practice to do it. And then he says over here, there's a book that I've been reading it recently. It's called Transformational Church, authored by Ed Stanzer and Tom Rainer, two of their favorite theologians. And in this book, it says, Transformational Church move from number crunching to spiritual discernment. Sometimes we focus too much on attendance. Sometimes we focus too much on how much donations. I mean, numbers are great. Numbers, it's also good. But that's not the true pictures of the healthiness of church. That's why last year or the year before, we talked about the quantity and the quality of the community. How do we do the measurements? Does it simply the numbers of people showing up? May or may not be. But it also the quality of us to demonstrate or to review the healthiness of church. So church spiritual discernment, it's about gathering information of our community. This book really focuses on that. What does that mean? So in our church community here in Richmond Hill, in Bayview, north of 19, we see it's a new subdivision. There are many houses to be built. But within this new neighborhood, there are existing houses that were here. We have seen, so basically you want to ask your question, who lives here, right? What are their dreams? What did they do? What do they spend their time? Okay. So once you gather all this information, you can look it up at the York Region Government webpage or, you know, Canada webpage, and then you'll be able to find out the demographics. Who are the people living in this neighborhood? And once you have that, the church will make the community the priority of the ministries and activities. So we do not simply shut off everything and think, oh, this is the program we want to do. This is the thing that I want to do because God inspired me to do it, without realizing what's happening in the neighborhood. Now, if you know, last year we did a community care food drive, and there were the reason why, because it's time for Thanksgiving, and we know there are quite a few people living in south of Elgin Mills in the Gold Train area. So we realized that it's a time for us to give back to the community to get our brothers and sisters to be involved. So we pray and discern. And after that, Annie, our caring deacon, department deacon, we took the initiative along with a few sisters. We started to do the food drive. It turns out that a lot of brothers and sisters do appreciate and volunteer for these activities. It's not a matter of how heavy or how much food we have collected. It's not about that. I know some churches try to do a thermometer and, you know, try to say a set a goal on how much food they want to. No, I at the end of the day, it's all about our brothers and sisters. How much do they love our community? And at the same time, I realized that there were a few of you who were riding the bike in the church parking lot and around the street for another fundraising activities. It amazed me, and it just brings me joy because we are not just limited to this building and care about our own brothers and sisters. Those, yes, we have to do, but what about the community that we are missed? So in this book, it talks about, when you talk about discern, it also talks about missionary mentality. Is to have that mentality is the church will understand the community and use appropriate ways to reach local people with the gospel. So when you talk about missionary, we always think about we have to go overseas. We have to go somewhere else. It's beyond Toronto. We have to take a flight to Africa or to Middle East or whenever. But this transformational church, the author specifically telling us, we need to reach our locals. Do we really care about the needs? Do we have the missionary mentality or minds to care, even care about for them? I mean, to many of you or to some of you, could be something new, because our tradition, it's not like that. Sorry to say, but a lot of Asian backgrounds, like first gen immigrants, it's more caring about, you know, other stuff, more than the needs of our communities. But ever since when I came to Canada long enough, then you realize that we can do so much to among our people, not just have to force the gospel into the throat of those people. It's just that we need to just care and reaching out to our community. Next, I want to talk about discerning God's will. Here you see another book. I've been reading quite a bit of book recently. It's called Pursuing God's Will Together. In this book, the author, Ruth, talked about something like this. She said, discernment is the capacity to recognize and respond to the presence and the activity of God, both in the ordinary moments and in the larger decisions of our lives. No surprise, because many of our times when we try to seek God solutions, that's when we exhaust all our resources, or when we have run out of solutions and still not working, then we'll go ask for God. God seems to be the last resort, not the first one, because we are always counting on our own to do problem solving. That's the nature, because in the society, we were being told to do problem. We have to build up problem solving skills. So imagine you are in a planning committee or fellowship committee or the elder board or the whatever ministry committee. Ask this question: is there a mandate to seek to know and do the will of God? Is there a mandate to seek to know and to do the will of God? Is it simply just an opening prayer and a closing prayer and nothing in between? Just talk, argue, compromise. How many times in our meetings we have to vote for the result or majority wins? Where is God in the process? It's human better or God better? Oh, because I've done this before. I have experience, so I should take the lead. Or, I'm the manager or whoever supervisor in my industry, so I should take the lead. Or you should listen to me. If we are not seeking God's will, then what are we doing? No wonder why, when we could not come into a firm decision, many people would decide to give up or simply leave the church. Or at worst, they just lost their faith and never come back. Think about it. This is a time for our leadership team, and not just leadership team, but in our church, no matter what program or committee you are in, please try to involve our Lord Savior into our meetings. And when our ministry becomes fruitful, we can give thanks to Him. If it's all based on my own ability, and I completed the task, and so many people accepted Christ, I don't even need to thank God, because it's my ability. So after I completed reading this book, I can tell you what, in the Cantonese Ministry Committee, in the Outreach Ministry Committee, and right now I just attended the Discipleship Committee, we all spend some time to pray and discern to God's together as a team. Discerning God's will involve the minds of both an individual and corporate. That's exactly what I just mentioned. Sometimes, I hate to say, but, God told me to do this. And then one sister would say, oh, God told her to do that. And we could not come into agreement. So we both fight. Verbal, not physical. But in the end, at the end of the day, if I win, I lost the relationship. So it's not a win-win situation. It's another way to break up the church. Because now we are in different so-called pastor Roland side or pastor whoever side. That this become a spiral effect which goes worse and worse and worse. And some people try even to use cohesive powers, I don't know, like, or some sort of tools outside the world. Some even outside people say, you Christians are even worse than corporate world because you guys try to have one face at the church, and then you're completely opposite when you exit. So the method that they use is even worse than the bad guys in the real world. But when you have corporate discernments, we all come together to discern about what God wants us to do. It doesn't matter which ministry you're in. It doesn't matter what background or experience or biblical knowledge, because in front of God, we are all equal. We are all created under His image. And that's something that here it's just continue to set just the author. Spiritual discernment is the ability to distinguish between good, which is God and draws closer to God, and evil. To distinguish or discriminate, okay, between good and evil. That's the way is to discern. So NIV said test and approve. Could be because sometimes our own mind would come within and say, let's do it. Let's do it our own way. Let's do it our own way. Let's forget about God, because God, it's slow to answer. I have no patience. Sometimes God wants us to wait because we are not ready yet. And we are so rushed into doing things. We got so excited to launch this ministry or to start a new thing. But hey, God says, wait. You're running ahead of me. But because His voice is so little or so soft, we can't even hear. And we just jump ahead. And guess what? God allows it to happen. And sometimes we made it, and we have pride, and sometimes we lose it and say, hey, where is God? How come he's not helping me? I'm doing your ministry, right? You get that type of thing. So that's why we need to sometimes come into discernment. I know many of you have that experience. I have that experience too. When I'm being called to become a pastor, sometimes I need to wait for confirmations. It's not just one hype because I went to the winter conference and I say, okay, God, I want to be a full-time minister. So blah, 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 I just quit my job. No, I just continue and move on. I'll talk to pastors. I talk to friends. I talk to many spiritual mentors to reaffirm. So that's something that we need to find out. How do you distinguish between good and bad? It's the Bible knowledge sometimes, or through prayers, or through sharing it to your friends, or sharing it to pastors. Like, we are all open, Pastor Brian, me, and Pastor Jonathan, and everybody's, right? Talk to us and share what you want. And sometimes we may want to pray for each other's. Here in the books of Acts, it was 2 weeks ago, right? Pastor Brian taught us the 3 S. Remember, speak, select, and send. Here is the same scriptures. It says, so while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit came and speak to them. That's corporate discernment. Corporate discernment involves worshiping and fasting together. Well, back in the early churches, they fast and worship at the same time. Nowadays, we probably won't fast. We may be waking up late because we haven't had breakfast and come to worship. That's not fasting. Fasting is more intentional, okay? Here, the Holy Spirit came and said to them, set apart Barnabas and Saul, because I'm going to send them out to do some work for me. You see, in the early churches, the Holy Spirit came and talked to these people. It's something that we can also experience today if we are willing to surrender our own mind and our own thoughts. Remember, transformations and discernment, it's all about our mind. It's a process. It really, really has to take some time. Now, let's go to the life applications. Jesus gave us a very good examples in the Gospels. He always go to the wilderness before dawn, okay, before sunrise, okay, to go to the wilderness and have some quiet time with God. He himself need to discern what God wants him to do. And then he will go on to the ministry to heal people, to feed the 5,000s, to cast out demons, and so forth. We need to discern, especially when we were busy. Yes, busy. I hear the word busy all the time when I call, hey, how are you doing, right? But over the last year, I don't hear this word busy anymore. It become other things, but I'm not going to share it here. So while we are busy, we need to even pay more attention to what God is going to say to us. If we call ourselves disciples or Christians, how can we not follow Jesus if he gave us such a good examples? If we are busy all the time, we need to trust him and let God to interfere with our decision-making process. That's one of the things that I want to challenge you. Come to God. Be quiet. Okay, so you have an issue. You want to come before God, but you stop, try to solve that problem for a moment. and come to God and bring him that you are in trouble, okay? That you want to ask for God assistance. And he is willing to help. So many times, let him take charge of our current situations, because our human wisdom is right here. And he wisdom is above and beyond our capabilities. He's the great creators, right? He's the author of the salvations. He can raise the dead people to become alive. Nothing can stop God from doing it. So we said we need to Psalm 37:5, which is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. That's a two verb over here. Commit and trust. How many times do we commit to only to ourselves? Because I have that experience. How many times we lost commitment to God? Or do we not trust him? God is always there alongside with us. Last but not the least, it's like an exercise. When we do personal discernment, when we one-on-one to God, we have that practice. And as a team, when we come together to do the corporate discernment, because let's say the committee have five of us, each one of us will do the personal discernment. And when we all these five people come along together, guess what happened? It's not magic. It's God, Holy Spirit will be among us to speak to us. Just like Acts 13, when they were worshiping God, Holy Spirit will come and talk to them. Do you want to experience the Holy Spirit speak to you? I'm sure you want to, as a group. I know we have so many challenges nowadays. We cannot meet face to face. I don't want to name so many things, but you know better that we are limited capabilities. Sometimes, as a pastor, I do not want to dictate or drive the committee for making such decisions because I'm more spiritual. But I want to come into not consensus, but it's God discernments, so that we can lift out the Holy Spirit, the will of the Holy Spirit. Last but not least, the reflections. Here are four questions that I want you to reflect on after today's sermon. How's your relationship with God? You know better than I do. It's just not good and bad, okay? Don't just say good, okay, or bad, okay? When I talk about relationship with God, it's the intimate relationship. Do you know God well? Do you expect God to be your friend? Like Jesus is our friend. When we were young, we always saying that. Is he our Lord? Does he take charge of our decisions? Does he get involved into every day of our lives? The things that I just say, when you drive, when you talk, when you speak, when you eat, when you work, does God become part of your life? Number two, how's your prayer life? Again, it's not a rating of 0 to 10, which is 10 is good. I want you to focus on everyday prayer. Prayer is the channel to lift up our petition to our Lord. He wants us to pray to him. He wants us to be close to him. If you are a parent, you know exactly what I mean. You want your children, if they want something, you want them to ask you. Number three, are you willing to be transformed? Now, transform is something that, remember that song, I have it in the early of the sermon. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to play the same old game. I just want to be transformed by you, my Lord. Last, Are you ready to present yourself as a living sacrifice? This is a hard one. I know it's not easy, but this is what Paul wants us to say. Paul said, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Why would he add something like this in the beginning? I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, because this is so difficult. But difficult doesn't mean that we cannot do it. We have to do it. We have no choice. Lord, have mercy on us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for today, this morning, that you have given us such a wonderful passage from the book of the Romans, a very well-known passage in the New Testament. But sometimes, Lord, we know transformation, discernment are so far away from us. Sometimes we just want to be the same. I do not like changes, but help us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit will come into our mind to renew it, our mind, to discern your will, Lord, because our will is not sufficient. Our will is not good enough. Lord, we lift up NTCC to you, Lord. We lift up the whole English ministry to you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and dwell within the leaders, the people, the community, every one of us to experience your calling, to ensure your will be done on earth, on NTCAC, as it is done on heaven. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you to help us to surrender our own and help us to eliminate and be able to distinguish what is good from you. For sometimes we are so busy, Lord, and that's not an excuse for us not to read the Bible and not to pray. We need a transformation. We need to know what you think, Lord. Help us build a strong and healthy growth church. We want to be a shine light in this neighborhood, and help us to step outside to know around our people, and help us to have a missionary mentality, Lord, that there are so many unsaved people, even in Richmond Hill, Ontario, or Toronto, in the greater Toronto area. Yes, the COVID, we don't see an end of it, but we still trust in you. We can commit ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for helping us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.